Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, very thankful that you're with me today on this Thursday. And we're nearing the end of our two-week series on restoration. What a powerful time this has been. Derek Prince has been teaching us about the whole theme of restoration, God's restoration of the individual, the church, Israel. And of course, all of that theme is rooted in the idea that God has a destiny and a purpose. And restoration is the process of bringing us back to what we were made for, bringing Israel to what it was made for, bringing the church to what it was made for, and of course, bringing us as individuals and families and even bringing nations back to what they were made for. And so this series has really been wonderful, really been powerful. And by the way, if you've missed any of it, or if you've heard it and it hasn't quite, you know, sort of skipped like a rock off your skull, it hasn't really penetrated your understanding, because some of these concepts are a little hard to get deeply into our minds, you can listen to everything by logging on to the website, derekprince.org. You'll find all sorts of wonderful information in addition to these teachings that you can hear as often as you wish. Now today, Derek is going to be talking about the purpose of regathering and what God is doing in Israel today and amongst the Jews to regather them, to bring them together for His purposes. So grab your Bible, grab a notebook, grab a pen. Be prepared to really get these truths down, not only on paper, but in your heart, because these are vital to what God is doing in our time. Let's listen as Derek talks to us about the purpose of regathering.
Yesterday, we looked at the process of restoration. We saw that biblical prophecy not merely predicts the regathering of Israel, it actually gives very clear and accurate pictures of just how and by what means that regathering will be accomplished. For instance, in one place, God says that He will use fishers and hunters. In another place, He says that He is the potter, and Israel is the vessel of clay being remolded in His hand. Today I'm going to take one step further in our examination of this subject. I'm going to speak about the purpose of regathering. The purpose of God's regathering at this time for Israel is in full harmony with the purpose of His original redemption of Israel from Egypt under Moses. At that time, He stated His purpose this way in Exodus 19, verses 4 and 5. "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to Myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, then you shall be My own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is Mine." I want to emphasize two points there. First of all, God says, "Primarily, I brought you to Myself." God's primary purpose was not to give them a law or to give them a land, but to bring them into a direct personal relationship with Himself. That is always the primary purpose of God's dealings with man. It's a personal relationship that God wants to establish. It seems to me to be one of the tragedies of Israel's history that really they never seemed to appreciate that their personal relationship with God was primary to everything else, the law or their inheritance in the land or all the other blessings and provisions of God. The second point is that the relationship was to be based upon a covenant. God says, "If you will keep My covenant, then the relationship between you and Me will be established." These two are interconnected. That's the relationship with God and the covenant, because in the Bible, the only basis of a permanent relationship with God at any time is a covenant. Now I want you to see the same principles are reaffirmed in the prophecies of restoration. First of all, we look in Jeremiah 50, verses 4 and 5. "In those days at that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah together will go in tears to seek the Lord their God. They will seek the way to Zion and turn their faces toward it. They will come and bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten." Now, the Hebrew in its original form indicates this, that the way to Zion is to be joined to the Lord in an everlasting covenant. So the only way of full and complete and lasting restoration is the restoration of a covenant relationship between the Lord and Israel. And that's precisely what He declares He will do. Let's look in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, where this is stated more fully. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now these are the points that I want to bring out in connection with that prophecy. We need to notice, first of all, that the first covenant made God a husband to Israel. When God entered into covenant with them at Mount Sinai, he accepted the relationship and the responsibility of a husband toward Israel. And the language of Scripture is consistent with that from that point on. However, by their unfaithfulness, Israel broke this relationship by which God was their husband. When God restores Israel, then he will make a new covenant with them, which will reestablish this relationship. But this new covenant, will be forever. It will never be broken. And it will have certain distinctive features that make it different from the first covenant at Sinai. First of all, God's law will be internal. They will not merely look at it written on tablets of stone, but it will be written on their hearts. It will be a very part of their inward being. Secondly, every Israelite will have a direct personal relationship with the Lord. No one will need to say to another Israelite, Know the Lord, for they will all know him directly, intimately, and personally, for that's the purpose of a covenant. And interestingly enough, it says from the least to the greatest, not from the greatest to the least. It seems that it may begin with those who are more humble and less reputed to be spiritual. The third feature of this new covenant is that God says Israel's sin and rebellion against him will be permanently blotted out. They will not be remembered anymore.
You know, the theme of regathering is such a powerful theme in Scripture, but it really reveals something about the character of God. Because God only gathers again those with whom he has covenanted. If God has no covenant, if he has no guarantee, if he has no destiny or purpose, then what's the point of regathering? He doesn't call you unless he calls you to a purpose. And that's why he regathers, because he has called the people of God to a great and glorious purpose. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the Church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hopefully you've been with us all day, in fact, all week and all last week, as we've been listening to Derek Prince teach us on the subject of restoration. And today, he's talking about God's purpose for regathering, a tremendous revelation of God as a covenant keeper and God as a husband, as a father, drawing his people back to Him. That's a revelation we need in our generation. Let's listen as Derek Prince teaches us about God's purpose of regathering.
Now we're going to look at another prophecy in which God speaks about making a covenant with Israel as He regathers them and entering again into the relationship of a husband to them. This prophecy is found in the second chapter of Hosea. First of all, I'll read from verses 14 through 16. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. It is God speaking concerning Israel. I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor, which is trouble, as a door of hope. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Ishi, and will no longer call me Baali. Now both Ishi and Baali mean my husband, but they're on a different level. And the modern Hebrew word for husband is no longer Baal, but Ish. It describes a new kind of husband relationship. Now I'll go on in the same chapter of Hosea, verses 18 through 20. In that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make them lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Now let's look at some of the things that are predicted there. First of all, God has an appointment with Israel in the wilderness. It's my conviction that God will deal directly and personally with Israel as a nation. There'll be no intervening persons. There'll be no preachers. It'll be a direct personal confrontation between the Lord and Israel, and He has the time and the place set. It'll be somewhere in the wilderness. Secondly, God will lead Israel through the valley of Achor, that is trouble, into their inheritance. Surely that is the way they're going right now, through the valley of trouble. Thirdly, the husband relationship of God to Israel will be reestablished, but on a new level. The word used of the old relationship that sprang from the covenant at Sinai was Baal, but the word used in this new relationship is Ish, which means husband on a higher level. Then again, this new relationship will be based on a covenant. We see that God never has a permanent relationship without a covenant. And this new relationship will be, in a sense, a marriage covenant. Out of this new relationship, Israel will again come to know real peace. The bow and the sword and the war will be abolished from the land. And then again, God uses the word betroth, which is in agreement with what we've already said, the establishment of a new marriage relationship between God and Israel. And then also, in full accord with the other scriptures that we've looked at, God says to Israel in the last statement, then you will know the Lord. In other words, then you will have a direct personal relationship with God. So the principles are always the same. God is going to regather Israel. It will be based on a covenant. The covenant will establish a new relationship of God to Israel as a husband. It will bring Israel into a direct personal relationship with God. They will need no mediator. No one will be between them and the Lord. They will not need to say to one another, know the Lord, for each of them out of this new covenant will come to know the Lord directly and in a personal way. So that's an overall picture of the purpose for which God is regathering Israel. As I've said already in previous talks, the initial aspect of the regathering is political and geographical. But always the ultimate purpose of God is spiritual. God's ultimate purpose with all humanity, Jew or Gentile, whoever you may be or wherever you may be from, is to establish a direct, intimate, personal relationship with you. And that relationship can only be based upon a covenant. The covenant upon which that relationship is based today is the covenant made by the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who came to save both Israel and all nations.
You know, Derek touched on a very tender theme in the book of Hosea. The whole statement in Hosea 2, that God will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. In other words, the very place of trouble will become a door of hope. This is a truth, a powerful truth for our lives. It's in the very place where we experience the most trouble that God is giving us the most wide open door of hope. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Few people realize that the church and the nation of Israel have two closely connected but very distinct destinies. Or that as history's clock ticks, the paths of the church and of Israel get closer together. In fact, it's only a matter of time before they converge. In his classic book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, Derek Prince pulls back the curtain of prophecy and reveals the separate roles that Israel and the church will play as we hurtle forward into the last days. Discover why, as these prophetic paths converge, we will find ourselves in a season of the most dramatic and earth-shaking developments in all of human history. What lies just ahead, and how should believers respond? Order The Destiny of Israel and the Church by Derek Prince at the special price of only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. In a day in which many Christians are confused or are falling prey to false teachings about the place of Israel in God's plan of redemption, Derek Prince offers a voice of clarity and biblical authority. In a season in which too few believers know what God has planned for the church at the climax of history, this book brings us trustworthy answers. Take a moment to order your copy of The Destiny of Israel and the Church, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or securely order your copy for only $9.95 when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I want to take just a few moments to make practical for our lives these themes that Derek has been teaching us about the restoration of Israel. You know, this is such a vital truth, this whole area of restoration, and specifically the restoration of Israel, how desperately we need to understand it today, and how desperately we need to understand it in terms of the headlines and what's happening in our present moment in history. But, you know, ultimately, it needs to have impact in our personal lives, that God wants to restore us. And so in just the next few moments, I want to apply this to every personal life that is represented by a set of ears listening to this broadcast. First of all, it's so important for you to understand that I want to be very personal in what I'm about to say. It's so important for you to understand that you have been made with a purpose. The Bible says that every being has been made with a purpose in God. Before you were even conceived, God had set a purpose for your life. And as you have come to faith, come to Jesus, as you're seeking Him now, that's all the work of God drawing you to Himself so that He can fulfill His purpose in your life. When God saved the Apostle Paul, knocking him off his horse on the road to Damascus, He said to him immediately, "I have appeared to you for this purpose." God's purpose, God's destiny for Paul was uppermost in his mind as he drew him to himself. And that is exactly the way it is with all of us. You have a destiny and you have a purpose. I know that some of you are listening and you have a hard time believing that. You have a low self-concept. Life has beaten you up. But I want to ask you to reach into your soul, more importantly, reach into the Bible and dust off the truth that you have a purpose. But the next thing that you need to understand is that that purpose, that destiny, has been damaged and tarnished by the sin that's in the world, by your own sin and foolish choices, and by the assaults of the enemy. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what that means is that our sin, our stupidity, our folly, the darkness that's in the world has damaged and tarnished that original purpose of God. In other words, we're not inherently or automatically coming out of the womb and walking immediately in the ultimate purposes of God. We step into a sinful world. We flow along with that sinful world, making sinful choices. And so we destroy, damage, tarnish, taint, deform the purposes of God for our lives. And that's why restoration is needed. And restoration begins when you turn your heart to Jesus, when you realize that God sent him to this earth and put him on the cross to destroy the very things that stand between you and the purposes for which you were created. It's sin that keeps you from fulfilling your destiny. It's sin that keeps you from the best version of who you are. And Jesus went to the cross to destroy that sin and to send the Holy Spirit, who will then begin to recreate in you God's purpose, God's original dream for your life. This is what the process of restoration is all about. It's God bringing you back, setting you right back where you're supposed to be to begin with. And I want to tell you that what confuses a great many people is the way that God does that, because God chisels us, God fashions us as his art piece through hardship and through difficulty. You know, Derek referred to this wonderful passage of scripture in Hosea chapter 2 that says, "Therefore, I will give her vineyards back to her, and I will make the valley of Achor," which means trouble in Hebrew, Achor means trouble, "into a gateway of hope." One of the things that we often have a hard time understanding is that God likes to take the very troubles that we're in, use them as his chisels and his hammer and his tools to fashion us into the sculpture of his design and his original intent, and make those troubles the door of hope and promise for the things that we're made to do. We don't like that. We believe, because of some bad theology, that God has promised us only a rose garden, that we're only going to have, as the Old Testament sort of taunts prophets, it says, "Say to us sweet sayings." That's what we want. We want sweet sayings. We want a rose garden. The reality is that God tells us that he shapes us and fashions us through hardship, through pressure, through refining fire. And so once we decide to become what God's ordained for us to become, many times we go through great difficulties and hardship. And the key to those battles is not to lose heart, is not to believe that bad things are just happening to good people or that we're just simply under attack, but to believe that God is making the valley of Achor, a valley of trouble, and boy, some of us are really in the valley of trouble, that God is making the valley of trouble into a door of hope. And then I want to tell you something. Once we allow that process, and almost every page of Scripture promises this from James 1 on, once we allow that process, we begin to bear the greater glory that God has ordained for us. You know, one translation of James 1 actually says, when you have many trials and temptations, don't reject them as enemies, but welcome them as friends, because they come to do you good. And one of the great teachings in the Old Testament is that the Hebrew word kabod, which is the Hebrew word for glory, it means weightiness. It means, that's where we get the phrase, the weight of glory. And you know what sustains the weight of glory in your life? The pillars of character. Character that is grown and sustained and fashioned in your life through hardship and difficulty. Now, some of you are probably thinking, man, you are giving us some bad news. I just want a fast track to glory. I want a fast track to the things of God. But you know what? Our experience is very much modeled in the history of Israel. God dealt with them firmly, put them in the refiner's fire, put them in the pressure cooker. And now, in the process of restoration, they're beginning to bear the weight of glory that God has ordained for them. The same is true in your life. It's difficulty, it's hardship, it's going through the valley of trouble that God uses as the door of hope to fashion you so that you can sustain the glory that he has ordained for your life. This is such a powerful truth, and I'm so thankful that Derek has been teaching this to us in an unvarnished way. Well, listen, if you have missed any of the teaching that we've been talking about over the last nearly 2 weeks, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll find all of Derek's teaching on restoration and so much more besides. But be sure now to continue listening tomorrow, because we're going to continue on this theme and wrap up all of this marvelous teaching on restoration. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for right now. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Thank you for joining us for Derek Prince Legacy Radio. To order your copy of Derek's book, The Destiny of Israel and the Church, give us a call. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This insightful book is only $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can purchase your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.